Lord, help me. I would like to come in and read the Word of God. Now look, if you are on your way to heaven, and I am on the way to hell, what is this to you?
There's some wonderful people overnight. I think Max Schmid is brilliant, and Arpo Martin is brilliant, but I don't know how many people get to hear them. And I want to say thanks. It's a tremendous job.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Into the dustbin of history. I'm your curator and janitor, Max Schmid. But now it's time for Lost Gene Shepherd. And, you know, I had three or so to choose from. And, you know, I'm a sucker for devil worship, right? So we're going to listen to Devil Worship from August 10th, 1972. With lots of news at the end, although we probably won't have time for much of it. But let's hear as much as we can. Gene Shepherd, not available anywhere else, but right here in the dustbin of history, WBAI, New York.
Thank you. tonight's little effort may not be fit for children to hear. And, of course, if you're children, you know who you are. That does not necessarily mean... It does not necessarily mean chronological children. There are all kinds of children, as we know. Not long ago, I dabbed briefly on these airwaves in Satanism. let me tell you, the trouble with the devil, and this has been mentioned by several thinkers throughout the ages, is that the devil, as was pointed out, I believe, by George Bernard Shaw, always gets the best lines. And there's a little note out of California tonight that I think you ought to know about. In fact, that's rather significant. Though I felt for a long time that what is happening in the United States, since about maybe 1955 or 60, roughly, began on the West Coast and marched eastward. It used to be the other way. What happened in New York would move slowly westward until finally it would arrive somewhere out in Idaho, and, 2 years after it was out of date, they'd start doing it. It's the other way now. Satanism has not yet hit the East Coast. Oh, it will. It certainly will. And it's moving like a great, slow, sinister, giant, gloppy, oozy, slimy mass. It's moving slowly eastward from the West Coast. It's now somewhere in the vicinity of central Kansas. Just a year and a half ago, it was barely gaining a foothold on the beach at Malibu. Where did it come from? The depths of the Pacific, possibly. The great Mindanao Trench. Did you ever hear of the Mindanao Trench? The Mindanao Trench. It's the deepest part of the ocean. It's out there somewhere near the Philippine Islands, off the island of Mindanao. It's the deepest part of the ocean. A tremendous, enormous depth. If the ocean were to dry up, the Pacific Ocean, it would leave a canyon that would swallow up maybe 50 Grand Canyons without even raising a bump. The Mindanao Trench. And, of course, there's been a lot of myths that have drifted out around among mankind's various peoples about what comes out of the Mindanao Trench. And some people feel that Satanism itself has come from this great trench and moved slowly, oozingly across the Pacific and then to the West Coast and then gradually towards we here in the simple pilgrim and yet the strangely Puritan East Coast. There's a note that comes out of California that they have now estimated, as of the last estimation, over 100,000 people in California alone worship Satan. Worship Satan. Now, we at times, all of us, indulge in various lusts of one kind or another, little things that Satan often calls us to task for not doing. But one of my great moments as a performer came when I played the devil in a play here in New York, a real fine production. I played the devil. Typecasting, maybe. But I suspect it would be typecasting if anybody played the devil. Never quite thought of it that way, did you? Well, 2 weeks ago, I received a letter from a lady, one of the types, you know, that writes in a shaky purple ink on green stationery. Dear Mr. Shepherd, I know what you are now. I know what you are. I've listened to you for years, and I know what you are now. You're the voice of Satan. Oh, God, have mercy on your soul. I read that and I thought, you know, I suspect that everybody is the voice of Satan in one way or another, madam. And that's one of the reasons why Satan never dies. As long as man proliferates, as long as he walks up those great concrete highways of existence, picking the apples and the fruits of lust and passion as he goes, as he wanders along the yellow brick road of time and eternity, so shall Satan always be marching quietly alongside us. Because Satan is us.
Come forth, O great spawn of the abyss, and make thy presence manifest. I have set my thoughts upon the blazing pinnacle, which glows with the chosen lust of the moments of increase.
You are listening to a rare recording made a few years ago during a satanic mass that was celebrated in the city of San Francisco. Now, the satanic priest is leading the congregation in their worship of the dark figure of the netherworld. He is now proclaiming the invocation and convocation, the call to lust.
I have gathered forth my symbols and prepare my garnishings of the is-to-be, and the image of my creation lurketh as a seething basilisk awaiting his release. The vision shall become his reality, and through the nourishment that my sacrifice giveth, the angles of the first dimension shall become the substance of the third. Go out into the void of night.
He is reading from ancient satanic volumes of conjuration lore. You know what the word conjure means? To call forth. To call forth the devil.
Shatter the sanctity of that mind which is barren of lust. So shall its vapors be spread within that reeling brain, benumbing it to helplessness according to my will. In the name of the great God Pan.
The great God Pan.
Be marshaled into the movements of the flesh of that which I desire.
This was made, by the way, without the knowledge at the time that it was made of the participants in the satanic mass to which you were listening. This is an actual candid on-the-spot recording. This is no joke. What you're listening to is the real thing. The wild music they have in their mass. And now at this point, the Vestal Virgins have advanced upon the altar of Satan, and they are burning black candles. The scent of sulfur and brimstone drifts throughout the dark, cavernous temple erected to the evil spirit. The hoof of a goat is placed upon the altar, the goat having symbolic meaning.
In the name of Satan, Lucifer, Belial, Leviathan, and all you demons named and nameless, walkers in the velvet darkness, all you dim things, twisted, half-seen creatures, wraith-like, glimpsed beyond the swirling, foggy veil of time and spacious night, draw near, attend us, we command.
You know what this part of it is? This is the most sinister part of the entire mass.
creature
is calling upon Satan to appear, to make his presence be felt in the temple.
Child of joy, sweet passion's daughter, product of the dark and musk-filled night, ecstasy's delight. Welcome to you, sorceress, and three times three blessed sister witch. Welcome to our company, the path of darkness welcomes thee. Be not afraid. Above you, Satan heaves his bulk into the startled sky and makes a canopy of great black wings. The many-footed walkers give
and the costume worn by the
power of
priest of the Satanic Church is a highly symbolic costume that comes from the very early Middle Ages.
Being
a red cape with black Kabbalistic symbols outlined in silver and gold.
To pull the lion vault of heaven down and from its shards build up a monument to your own
the worship of the devil.
Your power makes you master of the world of Christ.
The devil is everywhere. Which reminds me, this is WOR New York.
First on ABC Television, the mammoth 6.5-hour, $100 million Academy Award-winning film adaptation of Leo Tolstoy's classic novel, War and Peace. Tolstoy, whose genius was to record history as seen through the eyes and hearts of those who lived it. The passionate love of Natasha and Andre, trapped in the outrages of war. The Battle of Austerlitz, Natasha and Pierre. The burning of Moscow. The Grand Army of Napoleon defeated and abandoned by its emperor. Truly a motion picture for all time. A milestone, says the New York Times. A television first on four consecutive evenings on the ABC Television Network. August 12th through August 15th. Don't miss it. War and Peace. Presented by the Walter Reed Organization and SATRA.
This is Barry Farber with a skull and crossbones on this announcement. If you read to get drowsy, the Book Find Club cannot help you. If you read to stay alert and make those around you proud to be around you because they get more stimulated too, then get acquainted instantaneously right this minute with the Book Find Club. I'm going to issue a telephone number in just a minute. I'll do it three times. The Book Find Club is waiting for you at the other end of that telephone line. This is a different kind of club. You've got all the regular expected club benefits, extra savings on regular hardcover publishers editions and bonus books and convenience, but it's the books themselves that make the Book Find Club a volcano in a forest of Ronson lighters. Hard-hitting books on politics, race, religion, sexual liberation. As an incentive to join now, Book Find will send you two extraordinary books for just $1 plus postage and handling. These books, they're typical of the books we offer, retail for about $16. Here's what you get for your $1. An American Death by Gerald Frank, the true story of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. We may not have all the answers about the assassination of President Kennedy, but you will have the answers about the assassination of Martin Luther King in this book. For contrast, Fields for President by W.C. Fields. This great comic springs the length of his chain and sinks his fangs into politics, babies, business, marriage. Call Oxford 71535 for a trial membership. Get An American Death and Fields for President, both for $1 plus postage and handling. Once a member, you need buy just two more books in a year, always at discounts of up to 30% off publishers' prices, plus postage and handling. Call Oxford 71535. Operators on duty right now, Oxford 71535, or send your name and address, no money, to Book Find, Box 1, WOR, New York, 10018. That's Book Find, Box 1, WOR, New York, 10018. For immediate action, call now, Oxford 71535.
Now, you see, as I said, the Satan figure takes many forms and speaks in many languages. Yes, yeah, sometimes he even has a nice southern accent. Down by the old river Styx, where the lava flows deep and clear. La da dee 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 dee, la da 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 da. And all, in two separate plays, I played the devil. And one, some of you might have seen it, it was up at the 59th Street Playhouse, a play called A Banquet for the Moon. And I played a character simply called M, Mephisto. And a very modern Mephisto. And I recall standing at one point on the apron of the stage and looking out over the audience and saying, you'll enjoy this simple little community that we have here. The River Styx flows just over there, soft and rippling. You can hear it now. Hear the sound of the waves as they lap against the ancient rocks. Charon. He has the concession that if you'd like to take a ferry ride across the River Styx, we'd be glad to welcome you. Just a quiet smile. And so, by the way, speaking of the satanic image, it takes many forms, you know, and it changes from decade to decade. And you know what the current satanic image is in our society? And by the way, satanic images are always hard to pinpoint. They're hard to define. And today, the current satanic image is the establishment. That's what I've called evil by all people. Whatever it is, I can't pin it down. By the way, one guy in town keeps talking about people who he claims have sold out to the establishment. And he works for NBC, which is a contradiction in terms. There's never been an establishment bigger than NBC. Have you followed what I said? No. Well, you have to think. And you see, the devil calls that out of you. He calls for thinking. I said, and I will repeat, now you must listen. You have to learn to do that. What I said was, there's a character in town who keeps saying people have sold out to the establishment, and he works for NBC. Unbelievable. You know, that's like the editorial writer for the Times, proclaiming that he's writing for an underground paper. Down by the old mill stream, where that River Styx goes flowing by. La ti 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 ti. La ta. And by the way, I'd like to find out where you can sell out. I've been trying to sell out for years. Yes. Would you like to sell out, friends? You've come to the right place. And by the way, that was another great scene in the play. When the devil is sitting across the desk from Mr. Faust, the character who, it was a modern version of Faust, see. He's sitting across from Mr. Faust, and I was the devil. And here's the way the scene went. The scene said, look, I take your word for it. Don't worry about it. No problem about words between people like we are. A contract is ridiculous. A contract isn't worth anything. It's only worth as much as the willpower of the people involved to honor the contract, right? And he says, yes, that is correct. He says, now listen, all I can tell you is this. If you sign the contract that I'm about to give you, I can give you anything, anything that you desire. I said anything. Now think it over. And all you'll have to do is sign the contract. Just sign the contract, and I will give you anything you want. Now, you think you don't want anything, is that right? You have everything you need. Well, how would you like to be 19 years old again? How would you like that? Knowing what you know now. How would you like to be one of the most handsome men in the world. And 19. How would you like that? I can give you anything, I said. Anything you want. And it's permanent. All you got to do is sign the contract. Now, I'm making no demands. Just sign the contract so that we will guarantee goodwill between the two of us. That is all. I make no claims. Just signed the contract. You will be 19. A split second afterwards. And wondrously handsome and fair. I mean, to use an old archaic phrase. Go ahead. And what do you got to lose? You're 72 years old. What have you got to lose? Not only 72, but you've already twice tried to commit suicide. You just better sign that contract. You have nothing to lose, everything to gain. Isn't that a great scene? And the guy's sitting there. He's just tried to commit suicide. And his wrist has been cut, see? It's bleeding. And so, at that point, I say, look, just to add a little color to it, why don't you sign your name in blood? A little style. And then he takes his finger and he just signs his name on the contract. At that instant, boom. Boom. Scary music, please. No. No satanic mass. All right, just blow it. That's all right. Forget it. It's okay. We're through with the satanic mass, in case you're interested. We're through with the satanic mass. And so at that moment, by the way, before we go any further into the cult of the devil, I don't want to. You know, I know. You know, this is no joke. You know that some people out on the coast. I came back from the coast not too long ago. Now I want you to listen to this. Don't talk in there. I want you to listen to this. And this is something you have not yet heard anybody talk about much on, you know, the major newscasts and so on. But you're hearing it here. That I was out on the coast not too long ago, and I have friends in the publishing world, a lot of different areas out there, and at least four different people who were not connected agreed with one thing. They believe that the cult of Satanism, which is growing out on the West Coast, is even more dangerous today than the growth of drugs, the drug culture. And they say it's just a matter of time, before some major, fantastic things happen on the coast because of this satanic cult. Among them, you know what they believe has already happened several times? Ritualistic sacrifices. You know, part of the satanic cult business involves sacrificial elements, like sacrificing virgins on the cult of Satan. And a lot of people feel that this had a great deal to do with the Charles Manson thing. Yeah, that's right. It could be. Many people believe that this is true. And it's a great, curious underground movement that's occurring out on the coast. And don't think it's just teenagers. No, not at all. As a matter of fact, it cuts through almost the entire spectrum of chronological age and background. In fact, one of the leading devil worshippers in the California area, and that's a big famous priest in the whole cult thing, probably is 70 years old, 75, something like that. A famous leader of the devil worship, the satanic cult. And I haven't heard much about this out here, have you? And there are cells that have popped up. In fact, one of the most interesting side issues of it is that they've discovered in over 65 major schools in America, colleges, there are covens and organizations of witches and devil cult worshippers. And they're serious. So it's happening in the halls of higher learning, not in the, you know, you would expect it to be in the area of the barbarics. No, not so. It's the other way around. And so it's slowly creeping towards us, creeping on cat's feet. Now, I can remember when I played the devil. It was very interesting, these two plays in which I played, performed the devil. Now, these were legitimate plays. These were not, little off-Broadway fun and games things, and beautiful production. And in case you're curious, you can find reviews on it. There's a play called A Banquet for the Moon. And the thing that would happen when I would make an entrance, Making an entrance always was a fascinating thing when I was playing the devil, because, curiously enough, whenever the devil shows up, even if it's in a play, he has a tremendous fascination for people. There's a dead silence would happen. And they didn't know whether to applaud you or not, because after all, you know, when you make an entrance, usually people applaud. The devil shows up, and there would be a strange, stunned silence. And when I would give the speech where the devil is convincing Faust, of course, this was a modern dress version of Faust. It was very surrealistic. I can remember distinct lines of it. For example, one time, in one scene, the devil has a fantastic party down in hell. Yeah, and it's a costume party where everybody comes dressed in the costume that they always wanted to be, and the devil comes dressed as Saint Francis of Assisi, and he's wearing this cape, you know, a cowl, this monk-like cowl. And he leaps up on the table and says, "Oh, God, isn't this lovely? Balenciaga spun it out for me. Just beautiful." He was a very highly effete and completely decadent devil. And he swings around. He's got stuffed birds all over him. And purple and green lights play on him. Wild bursts of laughter. Ah, people would just sit there, their eyes. You could just see them. But curious, riveted eyes. Because this was a devil, the Doug being a devil. He really enjoyed it. And everything they did, it was totally tremendous orgiastic scenes. The devil kept saying, "Come on, what the, you wanted this." And here is Faust in the middle of this incredible orgy. And he doesn't know what to do. You know, he's looking around, and it's this rioting orgy. And the devil says, "This is what you buy. This is what you wanted. I'm only giving you what you wanted. The problem with you is you never swung once in your life. And you've always regretted it. Not once have you really swung. You think you have, but you haven't. And you have rumors of what the others were doing. Look at you. Now, come on." Brum. And the music would come on. Brum. Brum. That's your problem. You've never swung once in your life. Not once. You've always regretted it. So you pretended that you didn't want to. You pretended that all the others were evil because they were. Come on. What have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? Yeah, hold it there. I look, hold it there now. hold it. We're too effective. We've got people running down the aisle screaming. You know that nights would happen when that would actually come about, when people would literally, I could feel them out there. They wanted to get up on the stage and, you know, sign the contract. I mean, that's right. Well, think of the things that you would really like to have, that you would give anything for. See, money is really very little when you talk about the ultimate things you want. Like the ability to live your life over completely, knowing everything you know now. Boy, can you imagine what you would do for that? Imagine what you would do for that? How different you would be? I mean, can you imagine knowing all the things you know now and you're 17? Oh, boy. Boy, would you be dangerous? You would be incredible, wouldn't you? You would cut a swath, I'll tell you. It would be like the Red Sea parting at sunset. And there you are, leading the parade. Yes, indeed. Do we have a commercial here? I think we do. This is the devil here talking. And let's hit the money button.
What a lie. Now, American Motors 72 cars coming on strong with a huge 46% sales increase since March in the New York, New Jersey area. What a guarantee. American Motors Buyer Protection Plan. If anything goes wrong with a 72 AMC car and it's our fault, we'll fix it free. Anything. What a time. Now, get a better built, better backed American Motors car at year-end clearance savings. What a value. See the cars that have outdistanced every other major automobile manufacturer in our area. American Motors Ambassadors, Matadors, Javelins, Hornets, and Gremlins. But do it soon. Good things go fast. See your New York, New Jersey American Motors dealer and save now.
Yeah. You know, I've always wondered about naming a car Gremlin. I mean, how many of you really know what the term gremlin really came from and what it means? Do you, Jerry? How about you, Bill? Huh? Well, I'll tell you, it's an old flyer's term, a pilot's term, and it goes back some time. They don't know exactly where it began, but you know what gremlin means? Trouble. I mean, something was wrong with it. You know, when they said an airplane had gremlin problems, that means it was something wrong mechanically with it. And I've often wondered how they could, you know, it's a strange thing. I just wonder how many people know what it meant, gremlin. And, you know, speaking of the devil, I have to get back. I'm not going to let you off the hook, you know. Oh, no, not at all. I have a little suggestion here as the devil here. I would like to suggest that you drop by the Mandarin House down in the village. It's at 133 West 13th Street between 6th and 7th. It's one of the elegant streets in the village. Really a nice street. If you've never been in that part of the village, you should get down there. It's on 13th, I repeat, it's 133 West 13th. That's between 6th and 7th. And it's the Mandarin House and their outdoor garden dining room. It's open. And by the way, there's a fantastic Buddha that just squats there and watches you while you eat your egg rolls. Looks enigmatically. And they have a little brook and pools and lanterns. And whether it's rainy or cool weather, it's enclosed by a canopy, and it's just really delightful. If you don't know this scene down there, get to know it. And by the way, they have fantastic Mandarin cooking there, Northern Chinese. That's Mandarin House, 133 West 13th Street, between 6th and 7th. It's in Greenwich Village. And by the way, here's the phone number. Write it down, because you better call for a reservation. It's Watkins, WA90551. And tell Emily I said hello. I mean, just call her anyway tomorrow, even if you don't want a reservation. I haven't talked to her in a long time. It would be great. Yeah, go ahead. Emily Kuo. She runs it down there. You call Emily and tell her that Shepard said hello. All right? And the number is Watkins 90551. And then cackle and hang up. Typical listener. I'm telling you. You know, hey, you want to hear something interesting? Something I think it's interesting, and I hope it doesn't bore you. But a couple of nights ago, no, I don't care whether it bores you or not, the back of my hand to you. But a couple of nights ago, you know, speaking of the devil, there are a lot of different things in our world, just ordinary things, really, that are curiously related to evil, whether they are or not evil is beside the point. Somehow they have gotten the connotation, the aura around them of being evil. For example, black cats. A black cat is considered an evil sign. What are some of the other ones you can think of? Why a skull, for example? Well, skull is just a bone. You know, it's the most natural thing in the world. And yet, a skull is somehow always related to evil. Skull. And the crossed bones. These are just two bones. And this goes back a long, long time. Nobody quite knows where that started. You know that the skull and crossbones motif was and has been noted in very, very early stone tablets that go back way, way before the time of Christ. The early Angles and Celts and so on, or Celts if you prefer. The skull and crossbones. And a couple of nights ago, you talk about things that are related to evil. You've got black cats. You've got skulls. Bats are often related to evil. And what about owls? Owls. You know, the other night I told a story about seeing a barn owl in a tree above me down in the Everglades in Florida. It's a very rare bird now, you know. And it was a spooky moment. Listen to this little story. I don't know whether I have time to read it, but it's from a British magazine called The Countryman, and it's about photographing a barn owl. It's a spooky little story. A hint from the church warden led the two of us to be crouching on a summer night in the shadows of a country churchyard. Moonlight shone brightly on the roofs and bell coat. At each gable end was a stone cross, and on one transept stood a small, ornate turret. In the distance, the mournful baying of a pack of kenneled foxhounds was cut occasionally by the bark of a fox. From nearby came a loud hissing and snoring. Suddenly, a silent white shape passed over the graveyard and came to rest on the cross, down to the turret, and disappeared through a small arch as it glided into the side. After a crescendo of hissing, the white phantom reappeared and drifted away into the surrounding darkness. The domestic life of the barn owl was in full swing. Owls hold a unique place in the minds and folklore of man. The barn owl roosts and nests in derelict buildings, barns and hollow trees. Its liking for church towers and old ruins, combined with its nocturnal habits, its silently flying phantom-like shape, its hissing and snoring, and its strangled screech, have made its haunts ripe for ghost stories and ill omen. We had long wanted to portray, in one picture, not only the barn owl, but also the eerie atmosphere that surrounds us. This seemed the ideal site. The next morning found us at the vicarage, asking the vicar if we could do it. We could put up our ladders and all of our equipment. We worked on the complicated apparatus until finally we had it all set. Set up by the turrets, we had the special lights. We were now ready. Every time we had the whole thing set up, we'd have a breakdown. Somehow there were curious superstitions at work, until finally it began to work. We sat quietly. The owls came repeatedly to the nest, but not one made a single picture, hit the right wire. We were just considering moving all of our equipment and giving up when we saw it at the same time. In a dark night, just after midnight, an owl came sliding and gliding slowly over the church. A few minutes later, settling on the cross at the top of the tower, it slowly closed its wings and passed a dead rat from its bill to its talons. We had found that unless we kept triggering our system always, constantly, we would not get our picture. A majestic white bird unhurriedly and calmly surveyed its domain. After what seemed minutes, it finally picked up its rat by the scruff of the neck and in one long glide descended to the cross above the chancel. Here it went through the same performance. And just as it glided down to the cross, just at the instant, with the rat hanging, dangling over the ancient symbol of Christianity, the light flared. And we had captured forever the eerie surroundings of the barn owl. In the churchyard, late at night. Did you see the picture? No, did you see the fantastic picture they took? Look at that. Look at that bird drifting over the ruins. And in its mouth, in its beak, is a dead rat. I just tell you that if you people who are owl cuckoos, and, you know, it's amazing how many people are beginning to be hung on owls. Everywhere you see pictures of owls. Have you noticed that? You see owls in posters, and you see owls in ceramic ashtrays, and all kinds of owls. And yet, not many people have actually seen a real owl being an owl. They might have seen one in the Brock Zoo, but that ain't the same thing. Yes. And so the cult of Satan The satanic majesty hangs over. That's all right. Just what you've got on. That's exactly it. Yes, the devil comes in many shapes, gliding silently on silver wings over the ancient ruins of the lost and gone transepts and the crosses and the crooked stones of eternity. The crooked stones of eternity. Norman Vincent Peale would have thought of tonight's show. Yes. Come. All you have to do is sign the contract. And everything you want. Everything you've always wanted. And more importantly, everything that you've dreamed about and never thought you'd have will be yours. Just sign your name at the bottom of the parchment scroll. It isn't that I don't trust you. It's just that society requires these silly things. Yes, everything you've always wanted, everything you secretly dreamed of, will be yours. And don't forget, the devil always has the best lines. This is WOR New York. Stay tuned for Lester Smith and the news.
This is the news in detail on the hour from the WOR newsroom. The House has put the clamp on efforts to set a specific date to withdraw all United States combat forces from Indochina. By a vote of 228 to 178, the House approved a motion by Missouri Democrat Richard Bolling to remove the October 1st withdrawal amendment from the $2.1 billion military foreign aid bill. Earlier today, a deadline of December 31st had been rejected by a greater House vote margin. Although the House action is a clear-cut victory for President Nixon's Indochina policy, House Republican leader Gerald Ford of Michigan says there is more to it than that.
I think it was the reestablishment of a bipartisan foreign policy, and I would not want it construed as a defeat for the Democrats or a victory for Republicans. I think it was a victory for America.
Well, there's more, but we have to leave it right there. Gene Shepherd, Lost episode, originally heard August 10th, 1972. That's it. Dustbin of History is closing its lid until next week. We'll be back with more of the same next week and Sunday night 8 until 10 for the Golden Age of Radio. I'm your curator and janitor, Max Schmid. Thanks for tuning in.
Hi, George. Well, finished with the show. What do you want me to do now?
Did you have a good time in there?
Yeah. Oh, boy, it was fun.
Great. How'd you like to do it every day?
Yeah, yeah. That would be neat. Hey, wait a minute. Do I still get to be the janitor?
Sure.
Oh, okay. It's a deal. Oh, I think I'll be back.